إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session reading on the topic Mujibat al-Najat Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani those causes or reasons or that which necessitates a person earning salvation, being saved from punishment on the day of standing. Yani the Mujibat are those things which would be a cause or a reason for that person to be saved from punishment on the day of accounting. And this topic, yani, is taken from that which was presented by a Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Last week in our first session, yani, we talked about the importance of this topic, and also we mentioned two of the mujibat, those things which necessitate a person earning salvation, being saved from punishment on the day of standing. So from last week's session, even though we don't have a questionnaire study guide, I want us to remember that which is of great importance. The Shaykh, in the introduction to this topic showing its importance, mentioned two stories. One of those stories was centered around who? Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. And the other story was from Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiyallahu anhu. And these two stories, both of them, show what? Naam.
Show the Sahaba and their concern. Even though some of them were granted or given the glad tidings of paradise while they were on the earth, their concern of them, of safety, for them, safety yawm al-qiyamah. Their concern how to make them yani.
These two stories both illustrate the great concern that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had for this particular matter. Yani concern about how they could save themselves from punishment on the day of accounting. And even though Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was from the people who were promised paradise during his lifetime, it didn't remove from him the concern about that day. Rather, even though he was promised paradise, he was concerned about this particular affair, how one would be saved from punishment on the day of accounting. How much more so then should we be concerned? Naam. And also, the Shaykh mentioned another very important point, yani briefly, concerning the najat, yani that a person may be saved on the day of accounting. And he said that this najat is of two types. Yani a person being saved from, naam? Huh? Naam, from dukhul, yani entry into the hellfire, aslan, yani awwaliyan, they wouldn't enter the hellfire at all. And another person might be saved from al-khulud fiha. Yani the two types of najat, the scholars of sunnah said, that some people would be saved from al-dukhul, yani entry into the hellfire at all, and some people would be saved from al-khulud, remaining eternally in the hellfire. And both of these yani people would be fortunate, but no doubt yani the first of them would be the most fortunate, and those who would be saved from entry into the hellfire at all are those who naam.
Three groups that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Fatir, al-muqtasidun wa sabiqun bil khayrat bi'idhnillah.
Al-muqtasidun and the sabiqun bil khayrat bi'idhnillah, both of them come under the title of those who, in reference to at-tawheed, yani tahqiq at-tawheed, yani muhaqqiqi at-tawheed, those who have realized, actualized fully the tawheed in their lifetime in this world. And the other people are those who died upon tawheed, however, yani they didn't achieve the full realization, actualization of a tawheed in their lives because they fell into some sins, some major sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive them or He might punish them justly according to what He wills. Now, so those people might, they might enter the fire, but they wouldn't remain in it eternally. Naam, walaikum salam, tarikat. Okay, so the two matters that we mentioned last week from the mujibat and najat yawm al-qiyamah, the first of them we said, and it is the most important of them, of those things that will be the means or the cause of salvation from punishment on the day of standing. Anybody else? The first and most important of them, Shaykh said, is naam, fadlu.
Tawheedullah wa ikhlas
ad-deen lahu. Yani that a person, the most important thing that would be the means of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah would be the establishment of at-tawheed, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani making the deen for Him alone, and yani not offering any type of worship to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second of them, the Shaykh said, yani the second of those things that would be causes of salvation would be naam. Al-inaya bis-sunnah, yani giving care to adhering to the sunnah, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And each of these matters the Shaykh discussed in detail. So, with that being said, we'll go to the third matter that he mentions. The third matter, al-amru al-thalithu min asbab al-najati yawm al-qiyamati. Yani the third matter, the third affair, which is from the causes or the reasons that a person will achieve salvation on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of standing, the day of resurrection, the day of accounting. And again, brothers and sisters, before we look at the remaining matters or whatever we are able to cover today from these matters, we should keep in mind that there are many matters that would be yani helpful to a person to achieve salvation on that day. The Shaykh here mentions the most important of them, the most obvious of them, the greatest of them, yani in terms of yani aiding and helping and supporting the person on that day of Qiyamah. And therefore, yani it is incumbent upon us to look at these matters seriously. As the Shaykh, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, said, yani this is something that we need to ask ourselves. Is this issue or this affair, this matter, is it something that concerns us, that occupies yani the forefront of our thoughts, yani something that we're thinking about, something that we're worried about, something that we're concerned about, to the extent that we actually do the things that are necessary in order to achieve our safety and salvation on that day? It is incumbent upon us to think about this. And if it's something that we have not really been thinking about, it hasn't been in the forefront of our mind, then we need to make it a priority that we think about these things and that we strive and struggle and make every effort, asking Allah's help and assistance and tawfiq to be able to implement these matters in our lives so that yani we will have a chance and hope of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The reality of yani the severity of this day came to us throughout the Quran again and again and again, and from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seriousness of the hour of judgment and the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is incumbent upon us to yani prepare ourselves for that time. Al-amru al-thalithu min asbab najati yawm al-qiyamah, the third affair from the causes or reasons of salvation on the day of standing. Jumlatu umurin jama'aha Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi qawlihi, yani a group of matters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has collected together in his saying in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 52nd Ayat, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقه فأولئك هم الفائزون. يعني, so whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger and has khashya, fear of Allah, and observes taqwa of Him, of Allah, then these are those who will be, yani, al-fa'izun, the winners, those who will be successful. Yani, whoever obeys Allah, and whoever obeys the Messenger of Allah, and whoever has khashya of Allah, and whoever has taqwa of Allah, these are those who will be successful. All of these matters are related to one another, as the Shaykh, yani, will bring out in the discussion of this particular point, yani, that obedience to Allah, and obedience to the Messenger of Allah, and taqwa of Allah, these are things that result from a person having khashya of Allah. These three things are the result of a person having khashya of Allah. Yani, the person who has khashya of Allah, who has fear of Allah, they will be obedient to Allah. And they will be obedient to the Messenger of Allah. And they will observe taqwa. That means, meaning that they will avoid engaging in those things that Allah has prohibited. So the Shaykh, he said, after mentioning this ayat, فَذَكَرَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ أُمُورًا أَرَبَعَةً. Four matters Allah has mentioned. لَا فَوْزَ وَلَا نَجَاتَ وَلَا فَلَاحَ إِلَّا بِهَا. Yani, there's no success and there's no, yani, salvation, being saved on that day except with these four matters: obedience to Allah, obedience to the Messenger of Allah, taqwa of Allah, and khashya. And the Shaykh, he mentions, yani, four matters, and he mentions three of them: ta'atullah, obedience to Allah jalla wa ala, wa ta'atu rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and obedience to his Messenger, wa khashyatullah, and having fear of Allah. And the fourth of them in the ayat that's mentioned is taqwa of Allah. The Shaykh wants to talk here about al-khashya. Wa khashyatullah azza wa jalla asasun azimun lin-najat. That fear of Allah, the mighty and the majestic, is a tremendous, magnificent foundation upon which, yani, a person may, yani, be saved, based upon which a person may be saved from punishment on the Day of Judgment. Khashyatullah. فَإِنَّ أَهْلَ النَّجَاتِ هُمُ الَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. And this wording came in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mu'mineen, or Surah Al-Mu'minun, yani, now, 23rd Surah, 57th Ayat, yani, in a description of the believers. From amongst those descriptions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that hum min khashyati rabbihim mushfiqun, that these people, due to their fear of Allah, they are in awe. Yani, mushfiqun, it means al-khashya in addition to yani ziyadatu riqqa, yani meaning that a person has fear of Allah while having a relationship with Allah of, yani, friendliness, yani feeling, yani a feeling of friendliness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with a da'af, yani realizing, recognizing their weakness in front of Him. Yani, al-ishfaq is khashya plus, yani, more than that. Yani, khashya that, yani, doesn't make a person hate the one that they fear, but rather makes that person love the one that they fear. Now, so the people who will be saved on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they are those who are in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to their fear of Him. And some of the scholars said that Allah mentioned khashya with ishfaq in this ayat together, even though their meanings are similar and close, that they mentioned it. Some of the scholars said, لِلْتَأْكِيدِ وتأكد يعني to يعني affirm, to reaffirm and to emphasize the meaning of the importance of having خشية of Allah, fear of Allah. Indeed, this خشية of Allah تسوق الإنسان إلى ترك القبائح وفعل الطاعات والإقبال على العبادات. يعني it is the fear of Allah, the state of the heart of the human being, their state of mind, their state of being conscious of Allah and fear of Allah due to His greatness and His glory and His majesty. Yani the fear of Allah due to His greatness and His glory and His majesty and His magnificence, it is this state of mind, the state of that person's heart that causes, that drives a human being to leave off al-qabaih, yani those things that are qabih, that are ugly, that are filthy. And it causes the person, it drives the person to do the acts of ta'at, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it causes the person to move forward towards, yani, doing the ibadat, the acts of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. That indeed, those who have fear of Allah, خَشْيَة of Allah, from amongst His worshippers, are only the ulama. Indeed, Allah is mighty forgiving. Surah Fatir. I think Surah Fatir is 35th Surah. 35th Surah, 28th Ayat. So based on this saying, the Shaykh, he is showing us the importance of Al-Khashya. And in this Ayat also, is showing us the importance of Ilm. Because it is only due to Ilm, yani knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person will have khashya. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Yani verily, those who yani have khashya of Allah from amongst the servants of Allah are the ulama, the people who have knowledge of Him. Those are the people who have khashya of Allah. So the khashya of Allah is based upon knowledge, the people who have knowledge of Allah, and it's the khashya of Allah that causes the person to do good and to avoid evil and to worship Allah with that which is due to him. The Shaykh says, كُلَّمَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ أَعَظَمَ مَعْرِفَةً بِاللَّهِ كَانَ أَعَظَمَ خَشْيَةً لِلَّهِ. The more an abd, yani the greater the abd's knowledge of Allah is, the greater will be their khashya of Allah. كُلَّمَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ أَعَظَمَ, yani the more greater is the person's ma'arifa, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greater will be their khashya of Allah. Yani if a person doesn't have knowledge of Allah, how would they have khashya of Allah? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that indeed those who have khashya of Allah are the ulama. وَكُلَّمَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ أَعَظَمُ خَشْيَةً لِلَّهِ كَانَ أَعَظَمَ إِنَايَةً بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَاتِّبَاعِ نَهْجِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَبُعْدًا عَنَ الْآثَامِ وَالْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. So the more the abd, the greater is the abd's khashya of Allah, then the greater will be that person's care and attention to obedience to Allah and following the way of His Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ and distancing oneself from sins and those things that Allah has prohibited. Yani the more the person has knowledge of Allah, the more they will have khashya of Allah. The more greater is the person's khashya of Allah, the greater will be their care to obedience to Allah and their following of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and distancing themselves from sin and engaging in that which Allah has made haram. So indeed, it is a necessity that we seek knowledge and that we act upon that knowledge, because it is acting upon the knowledge that yani increases the person's khashya of Allah, which increases their obedience to Allah and their following of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their distancing themselves from sins and acts of disobedience and engaging in that which Allah has forbidden. the Shaykh says, فَمَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْرِفَ كَانَ مِنْهُ أَخْوَفَ وَلِإِبَادَتِهِ أَطْلَبَ وَعَنْ مَعَسِيَتِهِ أَبْعَدَ. Yani the more knowledgeable the person is of Allah, the more fearful they will be of Allah, and the more desirous they will be of worshipping Him, and the more distance they will be from disobedience to Him. The more the person has knowledge of Allah, the more they will have fear of Allah, and the more they will be desirous of worshipping Allah, and the more they will distance themselves from disobedience to Allah. So khashya of Allah indeed drives the person to be obedient to Allah and to avoid disobedience to Allah and to go forward to engage in the worship of Allah. But the khashya of Allah is based upon knowledge of Allah. Ibn Kathir, yani the Shaykh didn't mention this, but Ibn Kathir mentions similar to what the Shaykh mentioned here in his tafsir of this ayah from the Quran. Ibn Kathir, yani the ayat إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ 35:28, Ibn Kathir says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ هَذَا إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ أي إِنَّمَا يَخْشَاهُ حَقَّ خَشِيَتِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ الْعَارِفُونَ بِهِ. That indeed those who have fear of Allah in the way that He deserves to be feared are the ulama, those who know Him. Those who know Him. لِأَنَّهُ قُلَّمَا كَانَتْ مَعَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ لِلْعَظِيمِ الْقَدِيرِ أَتَمَّ وَالْعِلْمُ بِهِ أَكْمَلَ كَانَتْ الْخَشَّةُ لَهُ أَعْظَمَ وَأَكْثَرَ. And Ibn Kathir says it in this way. Yani the same meaning. That the more the person has knowledge of Allah al-Azim al-Qadir, the Supreme, the one who has power over everything, the more a person has knowledge of Allah, yani, the more complete is their knowledge and the more perfect is their knowledge of Him, then their khashya for Him will be greater in magnitude and more in, yani, its amount, in its number. Again, the point here Ibn Kathir is making is that it is ma'arifa, al-ma'arifa, yani al-ilm billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more complete and perfect it is, the greater will be the khashya of Allah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in his tafsir of this ayat, he says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَكُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ بِاللَّهِ أَعْلَمُ كَانَ أَكْثَرَ لَهُ خَشْيَةً. That the more, yani, the person has yani, is more knowledgeable of Allah, then the more will be their khashya of Allah. Yani again, the point is knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acting upon that knowledge. As Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, وَأَوْجَبَتْ لَهُ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. Yani this khashya of Allah necessitates in kifaf عن المعاسي والاستعداد للقاء من يخشاه. It is the khashya of Allah that necessitates, that causes a person to refrain and abstain from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the khashya of Allah that causes a person to prepare themselves for the meeting with the one whom he fears. Naam. وَهَذَا دَلِيلٌ عَلَى فَضِيلَةِ الْعِلْمِ. And this is an indication of the excellence of knowledge. فَإِنَّهُ دَاعٍ إِلَى خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Because it is knowledge that calls a person, that invites a person to have fear of Allah. وَأَهْلُ خَشَّتِهِ هُمْ أَهْلُ كَرَامَتِهِ. And the people who have fear of Allah, they are the people who will be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشِيَ رَبَّهِ. That Allah, yani, is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Him, and that is for those who have khashya of their Rabb. The next point the Shaykh mentions, من أسباب النجاة يوم القيامة أمور ثلاثة عظيمة. يعني three great affairs. يعني from the causes of success or salvation on يوم القيامة are three great affairs. جمعها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث واحد. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has collected these three affairs in one hadith following a question that came to him صلوات الله وسلامه عليه من أحد أصحابه الكرام. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned these three causes or means of salvation from punishment on يوم القيامة following a question that came to him from one of his noble companions. ففي جامع الترمذي عن عقبة بن عامر رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله من نجات. يعني is collected in the جامع of الترمذي, يعني the Sunan of الترمذي, from the companion of the Prophet رضي الله عنه عقبة بن عامر. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the najat? يعني what will be the means of salvation? يعني on يوم القيامة. And this hadith from عقبة رضي الله عنه is also a proof that the companions in general were concerned about this affair. Yani every person who has love for Allah and love for this deen and who believes in Allah and in the Messenger of Allah, who knows that there is a day of accounting, will be concerned about this. Only people whose hearts are dead would not be concerned about how would they achieve salvation on this yani fearful, frightening day. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, yani he asked, من نجات, what is the means of salvation? He said, ﷺ, املك عليك لسانك. Yani take control of your tongue. وليسعك بيتك. And make your house spacious, yani sufficient for you. Yani be comfortable at home, so that in time of fitna, don't leave your house. Be content to remain in the refuge of your home. وَبْقِي عَلَى خَطِيَاتِكَ, and cry over your sins. Cry over your sins. Naam, are our hearts so hardened that we realize, we are conscious of, we are fully aware of our sins and it doesn't cause tears to be shed? Out of fear of the punishment and the consequence of those acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are our hearts so hardened that we are not affected by the realization of our constant, continuous disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فجمع عليه الصلاة والسلام أمورا ثلاثة عظيمة تكون بها نجاة العبد ولا سيما عندما تشرعب الفتن. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has gathered together these three tremendous affairs due to which a person would achieve salvation, especially at the time when al-fitan, the trials and tribulations, yani raise their head or their neck. Yani when the trials and tribulations come forward and are apparent and are widespread amongst the people. فَإِنَّ هَذِي الْأُمُورَ ثَلَاثَ. Indeed, these three affairs. لَا نَجَاتَ فِي الْفِتْنِ إِلَّا بِاسْتِمْسَاقِ بِهَا. And there is no success or salvation from the trials and tribulations of this world except by holding tight to these three affairs. The first of them is what? Don't look at your books. Now, taking control of your tongue. And the second of them is? Now, sticking to your homes in the time of fitna. The third of them is? Now, shedding tears over your sins. The Shaykh, he says, أولها صيانة اللسان وحفظ المنطق. أملك عليك لسانك. Yani guarding and protecting and preserving one's tongue and one's speech. Yani taking control of your tongue. ولا يمكن أن يملك المرء لسانه إلا إذا كان يزن كلامه قبل أن يتكلم به. It is not possible for a person to take control over their tongue except that that person weighs, considers carefully their speech before they speak with it. Yani before we say whatever we want to say, we think about it carefully, weigh it in the scales of its consequences. Yani, would Allah be pleased with it or not? Would it be something that would bring about punishment or the pleasure of Allah? فَإِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا تَكَلَّمْ. If it is good, then speak with it. وَإِنْ كَانَ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ أَحْجَمْ. And if it is other than good, then abstain, refrain. يعني take control. يعني cease to speak. فَإِنْ كَانَ خَيْرًا تَكَلَّمَ. يعني if it is good, speak. And if it is not, hold back. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليسمت. يعني as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the authentic hadith, whoever believes in Allah in the last day, then he must say that which is good, or he must remain silent. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said this is the manhaj of the mu'min. The manhaj of the mu'min is that he doesn't speak a lot, or she doesn't speak a lot. But if he or she speaks, then they only say that which is good. This is the manhaj of the mu'min. That will be the cause of saving a person from a lot of harm and a lot of evil and the consequences of such. Whoever believes in Allah in the last day, and whoever considers oneself to be a believer in Allah in the last day, if that's how you see yourself, then you must say only that which is good or remain silent. That's a tall order. That's a tall order. Naam. It is not possible, the Shaykh said, وَلَا يُمْكِنْ أَن يَكُونَ كَذَلِكَ إِلَّا إِذَا مَلَكَ لِسَانَ نَفْسِهِ بِأَنْ يَزِنَ كَلَامَهُ قَبْلَ أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ. And it is not possible for a person to be like that. Yani, to, if you speak, only speak that which is good or remain silent. It is not possible for a person to do that. Yani, to take control of their tongue, except that they weigh their speech before they speak with it. وَمِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُعْلَمْ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ أَنَّ خُطُورَةَ اللِّسَانِ وَجِنَايَتَهُ عَلَى الْمَرْءِ عَظِيمَةٌ جِدًّا. And here it is incumbent upon us for it to be known at in this yani place where in this topic or this discussion, it is incumbent that it be known the danger of the tongue and the crime, and that the crime of the tongue upon the person is azim. Yani the consequence of the action of the tongue is yani tremendous, extremely dangerous. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, ثَقِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ. May your mother be bereaved of you, O Mu'adh. وَهَلْ يَكُبَّ النَّاسَ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ الْأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. يعني the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, is there anything that would cause the people to be dragged on their faces into the fire or upon their noses into the fire except the harvest of their tongues? Yani the consequence of their tongues. Is there anything that would be the cause of a person being punished in the hellfire except the consequence of their tongues? وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن العبد لا يتكلم بالكلمة ما يتبين ما فيها يهوي بها في النار أبعد ما بين المشرق والمغرب. And the hadith like this are many, and the Shaykh he mentions just a couple of hadith. From amongst them, the Prophet ﷺ saying that an abd would say a word, yani a kalima, yani one word or one statement or one sentence, ما يتبين ما فيها, which it wasn't clear to him what that word contained in terms of its consequences. Yani a person might speak and say something without realizing the severity of what they have said and the consequences of it if they didn't stop and think about it and weigh it before they spoke with it. And if they just said it, loose tongue, recklessly, without thinking about the consequence of what's being said. So the Prophet ﷺ said that a person might speak a word and it wasn't clear to that person at the time of speaking it what it contained. يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ. And they would fall deep into the hellfire. أَبْعَدَ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. يعني deeper than the distance between the east and the west. From a kalima, wahida, that a person spoke without considering the consequences of what they're saying. Is this something that would be pleasing to Allah, or is this something that would be displeasing to Allah? Is this something that is sinful? Is this something that will bring good, or it will bring harm? They didn't consider it. And how often do we speak without considering what we are saying? How often do we speak and say things without consideration of what we are saying? فَاللِّسَانُ أَمْرُهُ خَطِيرٌ. يعني the affair of the tongue is dangerous. وَجِنَايَةُ اللِّسَانِ جِنَايَةٌ عَلَى الْبَدْنِ كُلِّهِ. And the crime that is perpetrated by the tongue is a crime that affects the whole body. As the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ إِبْنُ عَادَمْ فَإِنَّ أَعْضَى قُلَّهَا تُكَفِّرُ اللِّسَانَ فَتَقُولُ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِينَا فَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ بِكَ فَإِنْ اسْتَقَمْتَ اسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ اَعْوَجَجْتَ اَعْوَجَجْنَا. يعني that the human being reaches the morning, and indeed every member of the body, تُكَفِّرُ اللِّسَانَ, يعني humbles itself to the tongue, saying, fear Allah concerning us. Meaning, yani what you do affects us all, it's not just you alone. And this reminds us of the reality that sometimes we, as Muslims, do things that the consequence of it does not come back to one individual. Rather, it comes back to everybody who is with you. It comes back to your family, to your community, to the Muslims as a whole. Like the people who were accused of bombing the World Trade Center. The consequence of it didn't return to a single group of people, rather the consequence of it returned to the people in general. So the members of the body say to the tongue, observe taqwa of Allah concerning us. For indeed, we are with you. Yani we're in whatever condition you in. And if punishment comes about because of your action, we'll all be punished. So if you are upright, then we will be upright. And if you are crooked, then we will all be crooked. Guard your tongue. And the third of these three, or the second of the two matters in this hadith, the hadith of Uqbah, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ said, yani the third of those things that is mentioned in this hadith, is sticking to the homes, especially at the time when fitna appears. And this is so that a person will distance oneself. Yani will not be of those who go out seeking the fitna. But rather, there will be a person who shelters themselves from the fitna. فَإِنَّ الْفِتْنَ فِي غَيَةِ الْخُطُورَةِ. For indeed, the trials and tribulations that may appear amongst the people are of the utmost danger. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ السَّعِيدَ لَمَنْ جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنَ. يعني the one who will be سعيد, who will be happy, who will be fortunate. يعني meaning the one who will be saved from punishment on يوم القيامة. The person who will be saved from punishment on يوم القيامة. إِنَّ السعيد لَمَنْ جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنَ is the one who avoids or who is kept away from the trials. And from amongst the ways to avoid the trials and tribulations is to remain in one's home. Yani just the normal fitan of immorality and filth of this society makes a person fully aware of the need to remain in the home. Isn't it clear? Not to mention those fitan that are not obvious. The other fitan that are not obvious to the normal people. Like the fitan of kufr and shirk that we are submerged in. But maybe people are not conscious of the harm and the evil of the environment of kufr that we live in. But what they see with their eyes is clear. And what we may not be conscious of may be worse than what we are seeing. And one of the means of protection is the shelter of one's home. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who will be sa'id, who will be fortunate, who will be happy, yani who will be saved from punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is the one who is distanced from the trials and tribulations. وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ فِي الْبَيْتِ أَمَنَةً لِلْمَرْءِ وَسَلَامَةً مِنَ الْفِتْنِ. And there is no doubt that in the home there is a means of safety and security for the human being from trials and tribulations. وَلَكِنْ اسْتَجَدَّ فِي زَمَانِنَا هَذَا أَمْرٌ أَصْبَحَ فِيهِ الْبَيْتِ أَيْضًا مُجْلِبَةٌ لِلْفِتْنَةِ مُجْلِبَةٌ لِلشَّرِّ. However, there is a yani new factor that has been entered or added to the equation in this time of ours today, such that the home also became a place that attracts fitna and attracts evil, even in one's home. And that is due to that which has entered the homes of the people. هذه الأجهزة الحديثة التي تجلب للمرء الشر وهو في قعر بيته. يعني this modern what do you call it?
Devices.
That نعم. These modern devices which يعني attract the person to evil while they are in the يعني deepest part of their home. يعني a person is in their home and there's something that he has brought into his home that is calling him to filth and corruption and immorality. How did it get into the home? You brought it into your home. You brought it into your home. And in the old days, yani 30 years ago, we used to say, don't have a television in your home. Yani a Muslim who was conscious of Allah and the danger of a television wouldn't have a television in their home. But a television is, yani, is yani child's play in comparison to what we bring into our homes today, that we buy for our children and we leave them alone to play with it and we don't know what they are doing. So the Shaykh, he said that today there is a new factor in the equation, such that even the homes, there might be in the homes that which will call a person or attract a person to fitna and to evil and corruption and immorality. And that perhaps ربما لو خرج وجالس بعض الرفقة الذين فيهم بعض الشر ربما أهون من جلوس بعض الناس مع بعض المواقع الخبيثة والقنوات المفسدة. That perhaps a person going out of the home and sitting with some of his companions who have some evil with them might be less evil than the person yani who is in his home yani being entertained by these filthy websites and these corrupting channels that we find on the internet. Yani channels of evil and corruption which harm many of the people, either from the perspective of shahawat, their desires, or from the perspective of shubahat, yani the doubtful matters. Yani these are means through which a person is in yani is invited to engage in following their lower desires, or is confused by doubtful matters that came from the enemies of Islam and the enemies of the truth. So it caused many people to fall into tremendous traps of evil and harm, yani by means of these sites, these websites, and these channels of filth and corruption and evil. So now it became that sticking to the house that is mentioned in this hadith requires some yani further restrictions or yani clarification in our time, and that is that a person yani for the safety and shelter of one's home, they must distance themselves from these websites and these channels that attract a person to yani trials and tribulations and evil and filth and corruption. Again, either from the perspective of the shubuhat, the doubtful matters that they bring with them, or from the perspective of shahawat, yani the following of low desires. And indeed, some of these websites, I don't know about the channels, but indeed, some of these websites do yani present issues that confuse the Muslims. Yani some of these websites are websites that are yani constructed by the enemies of Islam, whether from the Christians or the Jews or the just general atheists, or whether they are from the people who identify with Islam like the Shiites or others, who bring questions and issues to the minds of the Muslims that confuse them. And for this reason, a person should be careful what they are opening up and what they are looking at and what they are listening to. The internet is one of the most dangerous sources of information that exists in the world today. If a person doesn't know the website that is open in front of them, close it quickly. And the Shaykh, he says, وَالْأَمْرُ الثَّالِثِ, the third of what has been mentioned by the Prophet صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهُ وَسَلَامُهُ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ الْعَظِيمِ, the third of the matters, the three matters that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this hadith, is in his saying, وَبْقِي عَلَى خَطِيَتِكَ, and cry over your sins. Cry over your sins. Yani, if a person is conscious and aware, reflecting upon their acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have fallen into in the course of a day, regularly, constantly, consistently, it should affect that person's heart and cause yani some kind of reaction, physical reaction, emotional reaction, intellectual reaction. Yani, there should be some kind of yani consequence of yani some awareness of the consequences of our acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here in this hadith, وَبْقِي عَلَى خَطِيَتِكَ, خَطِيَةَ هُنَا مُفْرَد, is in the singular, وَالْمُفْرَد إِذَا أُضِيفَ يُفِيدُ الْعُمُومِ, أي خَطَايَاكَ وَذُنُوبَكَ. Yani here in this hadith, the word خَطِيَة, it came in the singular form, but in Arabic language, the word, when it is used in the singular form, but is connected in إضافة, yani in the construct phrase, when it's connected in this kind of construction, then we understand from it al-umum, that is, the meaning of it is general. It doesn't mean his one single sin, rather it means his sins and his acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of them. Cry over one's sins. وَالْعَبْدُ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ لِيَنَالُ النَّجَاةُ وَالْفَوْزِ عَلَيْهِنْ يَسْتَحْبِرَ كَثْرَةُ أَخْطَائِهِ وَكَثْرَةَ ذُنُوبِهِ. So the abd, in reference to this matter, in order to achieve salvation and success from punishment on Yawmul Qiyamah, it is incumbent upon a person to be conscious and to be aware, to call to mind the plentifulness of their sins and the plentifulness of their acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani call to mind, reflect upon, be conscious of, admit, face the fact of the reality of the innumerable acts of disobedience and sins that one commits in a day and in a night. وَمِنْهَا الْقَدِيمُ وَمِنْهَا الْحَدِيثُ, whether it is from those sins that we committed a long time ago or those sins that we have committed recently. وَمِنْهَا مَا وَقَعَ فِي سِرًّا وَمِنْهَا مَا وَقَعَ فِي عَلَنًا, and perhaps from amongst those sins are those which were committed secretly and nobody else saw them, or it may be from those sins that were committed openly. وَمِنْهَا الْكَثِيرُ وَمِنْهَا الْقَلِيلُ وَمِنْهَا الدَّقِيقُ وَمِنْهَا الْجَلِيلُ, and from amongst those sins are those which are many, and those which are few, and those which are small, and those which are great. The person must call to mind, يستحضر ذلك, ويبكي على خطيئته, and cry over his sins. وَيَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ جَمِيعِ ذُنُوبِهِ, and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all of one's sins. وَفِي الدُّعَاءِ مَأْثُورِ, and in the supplication that is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam authentically, he said, اللهم اغفر لي ذنبي كله دقه وجله وأوله وآخره وألانيته وسره. That is, O Allah, forgive me my sins, all of them, those which are small and those which are great, the first of them and the last of them, those which have been done openly and those which were done secretly. This is a dua. If you didn't learn it, yani there is no yani one who can do without it. As long as it came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no doubt that we are in need of it. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi kullahu, all of them, dikkahu wa jillahu wa awwaluhu wa akhiruhu wa alaniyatuhu wa sirruhu. Your sins, mutanawwi'a, yani they are various types of sins. Wa akhta'uka muta'addida, and they are numerous sins and acts of disobedience. Fiha al-qadim wa fiha al-hadith wa fiha sirr wa fiha al-alan wa fiha al-daqiq wa fiha al-jaleel. And so those sins include the older sins and the newer ones, yani those from a long time ago and those which are recent, those which were done secretly and those which are done openly, those which are small and those which are great. So if a person, an abd, calls to mind one's sins, one's falling into sins, and they cried over their sins, and they felt remorse for their sins, and they repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, كانت توبته نجات. In that case, that person's tawbah, their repentance, will be a means of salvation, yani from the punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani if a person cries over their sins, feels remorse for their sins, and repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah, this repentance, will be a means of salvation for them, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or it is authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "At-tawbatu tajubbu ma qablaha." Yani that tawbah, repentance, sincere repentance, yani removes whatever is before it. Sincere repentance, meaning the repentance that includes all of its conditions. Yani that a person stops doing what they are doing. Yani repentance requires that a person has to stop doing it, right? And then they have to what? Feel remorse for it, and then they have to, huh? They have to stop doing it, feel remorse for it, and they have to firm resolve not to go back to it again. Stop doing it, feel remorse for it, yani regret, feel bad about it, and make resolve not to go back to it again. Yani it's not sincere repentance if a person stops for a moment, feels bad about it, but intends to go back to it later on tonight, or tomorrow or the next day. Firm resolve not to go back to it, and if a person broke that resolve and went back to it, they should repent sincerely again. Even if they, yani, failed again and again and again, yani, repentance is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if the person tries to stop. Yani, stop doing it, feel remorse for it, and makes resolve not to go back to it. And if they failed, they should repent again and again and again. Indeed, at tawbah, yani, removes whatever is before it. وَمِمَّا يُعِينُكَ عَلَى التَّوْبَةِ أن تعمل هذا الأمر الذي ذكره النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن تبقي على خطاياك يعني تذكر خطاياك ذنوبك آثامك وأجمع نفسك على التوبة الصادقة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى من كل ذنب وخطيئة. And the Shaykh, he said, from that which will help and assist a person to achieve tawbah, true tawbah, sincere tawbah, is that a person act upon this affair, this matter that has been mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, and that is that a person cry over their sins, that they remind themselves of their sins, their acts of disobedience, their errors, yani, that they remind themselves of them, remember them, call to mind them. Don't try to erase it from your mind, but try to remember that I have done such and such and so, even if it was recently or a long time ago, if it was public or private, if it was in a great amount or a small amount. Try to call to mind one's sins, cry over them, feel remorse for them, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَجْمَى نَفْسَكَ عَلَى التَّوْبَةِ الصَّادِقَةِ, and make firm resolve, be determined, make intention and firm resolve to make sincere, truthful repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every sin and every act of disobedience. وفي الدعوات المأثورة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إني أستغفرك مما تعلم and from the supplications that have been narrated from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is his saying, O Allah, indeed I seek forgiveness of you from that which you know. I seek forgiveness from you from that which you know. Yani which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Naam. لأن ذنوبك أنت أيها العبد كثير منها ما لا تعلمها ونسيتها. يعني indeed, this is because يعني the person, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has taught us to seek forgiveness of Allah from that which he knows. Allah, that which you know. Because your sins, O Abd, are many. And from amongst those sins is that which you do not know, meaning you have forgotten about. How many sins we have committed that we forgot about, especially the small ones, right? All of them we forgot about. Yani just yesterday we forgot about what we did. Maybe the big ones we might remember, some of them, and a lot of them we forgot about. Naam. Because we don't want to remember that we did these sins. We want to act like if I forgot about it, it just goes away. Like the animal, what's the one that puts his head in the ground? Huh? Ostrich? Like if he puts his head in the ground and he can't see anybody, then they can't see him. So we imagine somehow that if we forgot about the sins we committed, so it is forgotten about. Not so. Not so. From amongst our sins, there are many, and from amongst them is that which you have forgotten about. وَلَكِنْ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَحَاطَ بِهَا عِلْمًا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadila, I don't know if it's Surah 58? Huh? 58? Ayah 6? I didn't have a chance to check these ayats. I was in the hospital all day today. I just came from the hospital just now. So please excuse me. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mujadila, 58th Surah, 6th ayat, يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَنُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. Yani on the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather them all together, all of the people. فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. And he will inform them, he will bring to their attention that which they have done. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. Allah, he has encompassed, enumerated completely all of what we have done. While they, the people, have forgotten. But Allah is the witness over everything. Yani, isn't this ayah an ayah that perhaps needs to be, yani, recited by a human being every day? Yani, on the day of gathering, when Allah will gather all of the human beings together, and He will bring to our attention all that we have done, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has collected it all and had it recorded, even though we, the people, have forgotten. So the crying of the abd over his sins, and the nadam, the remorse and regret over one's sins, and the mujahada, the striving and struggling against oneself to fulfill the requirement of at-tawbah as-sadiqah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt أَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَعْذَمْ أَسْبَابِ مُجِبَاتِ النَّجَاتِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. There's no doubt that this is from the greatest of the causes or the things that would necessitate a person achieving salvation on the day of standing. And then the Shaykh, he mentions, now, here? No. Taib. May Allah help us to finish, inshallah. Allahumma musta'an. I don't have any option at this moment. وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ النَّجَاتِ. Anyway, we just have a few minutes, we'll stop, inshallah. فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ الْعَظِيمِ. And from the causes of salvation on that tremendous day, that which came in the hadith of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, وَهُوَ فِي صَحِيْ مُسْلِمِ. And he recorded by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, إِنَّ النُّعْمَانِ ibn Qawqal radiallahu anhu wa adlahu, أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال يا رسول الله أرأيت إذا صليت المكتوبة وحرمت الحرام وأحللت الحلال أأدخل الجنة. يعني نعمان بن قوقل, may Allah be pleased with him and cause him to be pleased, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, O Messenger of Allah, what is your view? If I perform the obligatory prayers and I avoid that which has been made haram, and I accept that which has been made halal, will I enter the Jannah? Three things: fulfilling the five obligatory prayers and observing the halal and the haram. Here, this companion, and Nu'man ibn Qawqal, he is searching for salvation. He wants the summary, the core, the essence in this topic of salvation on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So he said, what do you see, yani, O Messenger of Allah, if I perform the obligatory prayers and observe, yani, avoid the haram and yani, consume that which is halal, will I enter the Jannah? The Prophet said, Na'am, yes, you will enter the Jannah. And in a narration, another narration that's also reported in Sahih Muslim, he said, what do you see if I perform the obligatory prayers and avoid the haram and engage in the halal? وَلَمْ أَزِدْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. And I don't do any more than that, will I enter the Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ, and this hadith is also reported by Imam Muslim, he said, Na'am. Qala, the companion Nu'man, he said, Wallahi la azidu ala dhalika shay'an. By Allah, I will not do any more than this. وَهَذَا فِي أَمْرٌ وَاضِحٌ بَيِّنٌ أَنَّ مَنْ أَدَّى فَرَائِدَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَوَاجِبَاتِ الدِّينِ وَهِيَ أُمُورٌ بَيِّنَةٌ مَعْلُومَةٌ وتجنب الحرام وابتعد عن الآثام دخل يوم القيامة الجنة بالسلام وكان من الناجين المفلحين الفائزين. And here the Shaykh says, here this is, yani in this hadith, this is a matter that is crystal clear, that whoever fulfills the fara'id of Islam, those things which are fard, and the wajibat of the deen, that which Allah obligated upon us, made obligatory upon us, and these are matters which are bayyina, clear, ma'aluma, well known, the fara'id of Islam, the wajibat of the deen, and then the person avoids the haram and distanced himself from sins, on yawm al-qiyamah that person will enter Jannah safely, and that person will be of those who are saved, those who are successful, those who are the winners. So reflect upon this affair. And we're going to close with this. The Shaykh says, reflect upon this affair. يعني الذي أهم ابن قوقل رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. That which was the greatest concern of this companion, may Allah be pleased with him and please him, القوقل. And at the same time, يعني contemplate over the ضياع الكبير, the great loss which have entered upon many of the people, and he didn't mean, and it's not all of the people, but it entered upon many of the people by way of the search engine that is well known as Qawqal. Yani in Arabic, Qawqal, yani like the name of the companion Qawqal, yani they mean by it Google. That's the name for it in Arabic. Look at the difference between this maze of confusion in this search engine called Google. Yani people got lost in it. They entered into it, yani, or entered upon, yani, those things came upon the people from this search engine, many, many evils, great evils and trials and tribulations. Look at the difference between this and the difference between the concern of this companion Ibn Qawqal. May Allah be pleased with him and make him pleased. And his concern and how it was limited, his concern was limited not to everything that's on the internet, but he was concerned about what would be the cause of salvation on the Day of Standing. And he has specified that cause of najat, yani fi khulasatin, mujizatin, muhaddadatin mu'ayyinatin. Yani he has summarized it briefly. Yani specified it and yani identified it particularly to be what? Yani to be the fulfillment of the obligatory prayers and the observance of that which, yani avoiding that which is haram and consuming that which is halal. فَأَقْسَمَ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ لَا يُزِيدُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Once he became, it became clear to him, after he asked the Prophet that this would be a means of salvation for him, then he swore by Allah, I will not do more than that. Yani he made firm resolve upon himself, yani to fulfill this great affair, which would be the cause of salvation of his soul on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And he would not do more than that. وَهُوَ بِذَلِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى يَنَالُ النَّجَاةِ وَالْفَوْزِ وَالدُّخُولَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ الْعَظِيمِ. And he will, if he fulfilled this affair, by the permission of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he will achieve salvation and success and admittance into the Jannah on that tremendous day, يوم القيامة. فَمِنْ أَعْظَمُ الْأَسْبَابِ النَّجَاةِ. So from the greatest forms of النَّجَاةِ, of salvation on يوم القيامة, is الْإِنَايَةِ بِفَرَائِدِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَوَاجِبَاتِ الدِّينِ. Yani giving care, being concerned about the fard, obligatory wajibat, matters of Islam. Being concerned about them. Al-inaya, giving care to them. وَالْبُعْدْ عَنَ الْآثَامِ. And also, from the greatest means of salvation is to distance oneself from all types of sins, and the major sins, and the haram forbidden things. وَيُجَاهِدْ الْمَرْءُ نَفْسَهُ وَيُصَبِّرُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى يَقُولُ. And that a person strive against oneself and force oneself to be patient with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with and prohibited us from, and to be patient with the trials and tribulations, calamities and difficulties that befall us by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we close with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 69th Ayat, the saying of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ صُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَا الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, who strive, yani in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will definitely guide them to subulana, our ways, yani our ways that lead to goodness and right guidance. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the muhsineen, yani the people of ihsan. And indeed, Allah is with the people of ihsan. Yani striving in the way of Allah, striving to fulfill the commands of Allah, to avoid that which Allah has prohibited, and to yani limit ourselves to that which Allah has made lawful for us. Indeed, those who excel in this, yani who act like yani they see Allah, and if they don't, then at least know that Allah sees them, al-ihsan, then these are the people, yani Allah will be with them, and Allah will grant them success. And we close by reminding myself first, and then each of us, that these are matters, great yani matters, that can be helpful to the person, yani to assure their good standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and perhaps their salvation from punishment on the day of accounting. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.